Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the HR Room Podcast by Insight HR. Today we're discussing a topic that I know will perk the ears of HR professionals everywhere, the world of technology, skills and analytics. This is the latest episode in our Back in Business series, guiding HR teams and organizations through the next stage in the world of work. So joining us to talk about this topic today, firstly, we have a pioneer in people analytics who is obsessed with helping senior leaders make better and ethical decisions about their people. Simon Haynes, CEO of Simply Get Results. Hello, Simon. How are you?
Hello, Owen. Hello, Mary. Hello, everyone. I'm very well, thank you.
Brilliant. And of course, we're also joined today by our very own Mary Cullen, founder and managing director here at Insight HR. Hello, Mary. How are you?
Hello, Owen and Simon. You're very welcome.
So let's jump right in. And maybe I'll start with you, Simon, if I may. So your organization, Simply Get Results, has recently released a report titled The Winning Skills Advantage, which combines research, interviews of senior HR leaders and analysis to essentially, I suppose, understand what makes the most innovative and effective HR functions stand out from their peers. Just to kick us off, can you talk to us a bit about the report and I suppose why was it created?
Yeah, of course, I'd be happy to. So firstly, we were lucky enough to be featured in KPMG's latest global future of HR research, which was a pretty exciting opportunity for us. And so we've produced a sort of companion paper related to that called The Winning Skills Advantage. What's this all about? It's about companies, leaders, HR functions that are differentiating in the market, outperforming their peers, their competitors. How are they doing that? What are they doing differently to the rest of us? And as the winning skills advantage might give away, the answer is about the skills they choose to invest in. Which skills do they invest in and why? How do they find them? How do they exploit them? So the paper's all about that, kind of sharing some secrets and some learnings that potentially any organization can emulate.
And for Mary, building on that last question, so it's been a challenging year for HR teams, organizations everywhere. There's been the disruption of the pandemic on top of the growing challenge, obviously, of adopting technology, looking at skills, all the stuff that Simon has been saying there. Do you think as we emerge from the pandemic and get back to normality, is there a real opportunity now for HR teams to kind of embrace that innovation? Is it now even more timely than it was ever before?
Yeah, I think I'm always someone who talks about HR being slow to embrace tech and data and analytics. And you know, I see right across our client base, you know, that fear kind of still exists amongst HR teams. And while there's a lot of talk about data and analytics and skills and how to get them, you know, there is maybe sometimes a reticence around embracing technology. So what has the pandemic done for HR? It's kicked it out of its comfort zone, really, because you know, we've had to embrace a whole load of new tech, just like everybody else. We've had to find ways to collaborate with each other during the pandemic. We've had to support our leadership teams, our employees virtually. We've had to look at how to train and develop people through e-learning. And we've had to learn how to do virtually every single HR process online. When it comes to data, analytics, analysis of skills, you know, that's probably the next step. And I still see there is a lot of fear around it. You know, a concern. Do I need to be a mathematician? Do I need to have a great proficiency with Excel to understand data? And what can I actually do with it? Or how can I even justify going to my manager, whoever that is, or the CEO to invest in tools? And I guess that's for HR teams everywhere to think about, you know, how do I make the business case if A, I don't understand what I'm actually going to be able to do with the information, and B, may not have the language. So I'm hoping Simon can help me as much as anyone in understanding, well, how can HR teams justify the spend on this type of technology, and you know, how come, what kind of impact might it have?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of new information, new ideas, new terms out there. One term I did spot when I was looking through your report, Simon, was the term skills tech, which we can see a lot more industry analysts, people like Josh Bershon, talking about that term. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that is? And I suppose what do HR teams need to take notice of when they're talking about skills tech?
Yeah, sure. So as the title would suggest, this is about skills meeting tech. And so look, all HR functions, probably from nearly the smallest to the very biggest, have been using technology for some time. We need a place to store our people data and so on. And I guess, given that, I'm going to jump to a conclusion, given that we are at the start of what looks like a global skills crisis, it's not very surprising that everybody's talking about skills. And given that we've all been working remotely, it's not a surprise that everyone's asking what technology can help us with skills. So there we are talking about skills and tech. So what is skills tech? But it's about technology that helps you look at the skills you have and the skills you need and figure out what the gaps might be and how do you close them. And obviously the HR tech that anybody's using already is part of that equation. But the thing about skills is information about skills is held in all sorts of different places. May not be actually held on your HR system. You definitely know everyone's name and salary and address and that sort of thing. But do you actually know the skills that your people have? When it comes to your jobs and your roles and your organization structures, you know job titles and reporting hierarchies, but do you understand the skills associated with those jobs and those roles? When you're hiring, you're absolutely hiring for skills associated with jobs and roles. And when the candidates turn up, they offer you a CV with their skills on it. So skills data is all over the place. And that's kind of what skills tech sets out to help with. If you want to understand the skills you need, the skills you have, what's the gap and how do you close it? Where do you get the information from? How do you bring it together? And how does that help you to make some really good decisions?
From the, I suppose, the research, the analysis, that kind of stuff, Simon, what are some of the new skills that we're kind of seeing emerge in this new world of work? Is there some more traditional ones? Is there more innovative ones? Can you, I suppose, talk to us about some things you might have found in that regard?
Yeah, so look, the answer is absolutely there's a blend. So firstly, some solid stuff carries on. We all still need to be good at communicating. We need to be even better at communicating with each other now that we're all doing it partly over a screen or entirely over a screen. We all still need good leadership. We need even better leadership because it's more turbulent out there. So many things are the same, although perhaps we need to sharpen up those skills and look at what they really mean for us. And I'm talking about, you know, soft skills there particularly. When it comes to technical skills, so look, we've all gone online, we've all adopted technologies, and technology sort of met us halfway by being a bit more easy and user-friendly. So fantastic, good. That means even I can use it, right? But one of the huge findings in our research for this latest report was, here comes a stat for you, around 70% of the skills that most innovative and disruptive HR functions are using, around 70% of those skills are not typical HR skills. So HR is sitting there with 30% of the skills it needs to win, to lead in the market, but not the other 70%. So, you know, what have we found in that 70%? I have some good news for you. The 70%, the other skills fall into categories like IT skills that maybe your IT department has, like business and finance skills that maybe your finance team has, like marketing and customer experience skills that maybe your marketing colleagues have. And Mary, earlier you just said that, you know, HR has been pushed out of its comfort zone. And what the innovators in HR, the leaders in HR are doing that we find is they are embracing that separate set of skills outside their comfort zone. They're adopting and learning about those skills and using them. And also they'll be collaborating more with their colleagues in different functions, because you don't need to own every skill end to end in your HR function. If that skill exists somewhere in your business, maybe you can collaborate. So those are some of the key things we're finding.
Yeah, it's interesting, Simon, because, you know, so much of what is changing now, you know, that whole concept of employer branding and, you know, communications with employees, that has become so much more important in a virtual world. And, you know, while HR people are very good with people and, you know, have varying skill sets across all levels within, I suppose, the HR roles, I do see gaps around those particular areas in terms of the marketing of the HR function, the communications piece. Some HR, you know, HR departments have fantastic separate comms, you know, channels and professionals within their departments working with them on that. But not all HR departments have that. And so those marketing skills are just so important, and those finance skills to be able to, you know, sit in the boardroom and have an impact and understand the kind of discussions that the rest of the leadership team might be engaged in are so key. And I guess your report is really interesting in highlighting that, you know, cutting edge HR departments have more of these skills than those that don't. Did you say that 10% of HR departments have this level of skill, or, you know, is that kind of the range we're at?
Yeah, look, to quote KPMG's Future of HR research, they call the top 10% of HR functions pathfinders. And you know, there's a measurement of, are you outperforming your peer group? So, you know, that's what that sort of top 10% is about. And so we looked at what are the differences between that 10%, those pathfinders, and everybody else. And of course, we found similarities and differences. There are some core skills that everybody is using because they need to get their business done, to be successful in HR and the companies that they're running. But then we found what I call a long tail of other skills, where you've got choice. Every company, every HR function, every business leader has choice about which skills are we investing in. And that 10%, they're making some really smart choices and they're sticking with them. They're making bets. They're being more innovative. They're being more experimental. They're making bets that align with their strategy. They're making bets that often give them some advantage over their competitors. They're making bets that delight their customers. And again, I think, you know, you talked about fear in any leader, HR or otherwise, and I think they're to some extent overcoming that fear, finding the way to overcome that fear, to try some new things, to be prepared to fail, which is what experimentation is about. Might not come naturally to many people, but to be prepared to fail to embrace some new and different skill sets.
I wonder, are the courses which, you know, train our HR people, you know, embracing this kind of analytics and you know, training our young graduates in this kind of area. It's probably, I often feel there's a disconnect between what we need in the world of work and maybe how the colleges are preparing students in this discipline for that work. And I wonder, have they caught up? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wonder, when you look at, forgive the word, you know, a traditional HR career path, there's a whole bunch of stuff that is, you know, it's really important, it's non-negotiable, you know, from compliance through to an excellent workforce experience. But I think the requirements have changed considerably. And I think it's going to be really hard for, you know, training providers and in the HR professional bodies to keep up and stay ahead. But obviously they have to. And I guess what companies are doing in the middle of all of that uncertainty, frankly, is they're making some choices. I would expect all of this to normalize at some point in the future, probably, unless it just continues to go from, you know, craziness to craziness. But you're right. I think stepping beyond the traditional HR career path, I think, is the question. And whether that has anything to do with your age and stage in life, or whether that's your attitude to innovation and embracing new things, I think it's really important. And I think individuals are going to succeed by bringing that attitude to work.
Yeah, it sounds like the opportunities are kind of endless, really. And I think we've probably alluded to the answer to this next question in what we've spoken about already. But I suppose bringing it back to practical steps for current HR professionals, I'll come to yourself first, Mary, and then maybe to yourself, Simon. I suppose the question is, what can HR professionals do to embrace technology and really jump ahead of the competition? And have we seen certain companies do it already and kind of lead the way in this area?
I would say researching is important. You know, what's out there? What could you use? And why might you use it? So everything has to be linked back to your organizational strategy. You know, where is the organization trying to go? And what skills are you going to need in the future for the HR function, for the leadership team? And also for, you know, those people who will be delivering on the strategy, the employee body. And so looking out there and seeing what's on offer is really important. Like as Simon says, probably most HR functions now have a HRIS system. So I do actually know some that don't, that still do it manually. And I think, my God, there's so many options out there. I find it staggering that they don't have it. And you can have a really beleaguered HR practitioner trying to maintain data if they don't have those systems. But what Simon is talking about is going forward and moving to the next step and really looking at, well, what can tech do for the organization? I think, like Simon says, there's, you know, a percentage of front runners out there who've embraced technology, know what they're doing with the technology, and are using it as, you know, part of their competitive advantage. And other HR departments have to catch up. But they need to stop being afraid and really look at what's out there and speak to providers about what the options are. Look back to the CIPD and see what's it saying about new technology and how it can be used by HR practitioners, and talk and tell people you don't understand you know, what it can do for your business.
So Mary, I 100% agree, and I think, you know, research is obviously enormously helpful, and to build on what you're saying, I think to ask your questions in your way. None of us should be ashamed of not knowing all the latest things that have come out. It's impossible to do so. So I think being clear around your requirements and your needs is the first thing. If you don't know what you need, you're never going to get it. So, you know, as you say, what does my strategy tell me? What are our pain points? What is our dream situation? What would we love to be going on in our organization in terms of technology, data, employee experience, insight, decision making, and so on? Because I think the answer is that there are solutions out there for pretty much any need. And it's a question of finding your way through that fog. So as I say, you know, state your requirements clearly, meet a bunch of different providers, you know, find people in your organization that are more tech savvy or enjoy the research, find partners who can help you on the journey. Because I think it is a journey, figuring out where are you now, where are you trying to get to, what do you need, what might the solutions be, and then jumping on the right solution for your needs.
Yeah, and then the next step for HR practitioners is, once you've figured it out, you understand what the impact might be for you in the organization, then you have to be able to put the business case to the executive team or to the leadership team or to the CEO in language that they actually understand. So there is a job between translating what a provider says they can give you and how you can present it effectively to the senior management team. I so often find HR people, you know, getting turned down in terms of budget for something that they want to do and know will make an impact. But again, it's, you know, how has it been presented? And I think, as you say, part of the new skills from a HR perspective are things like, you know, understanding the finance, the presentation of a business case, and the budget, the explanation of how it's going to benefit the organization in the future. It can't be woolly. If it's woolly, they're going to say no, as they would to any other woolly proposal put forward by any other part of the business.
I agree completely. And it's not easy, because in a people business case, there is a lot of complexity. And when you're looking at data and insight and technology, there's more complexity and not everybody understands it. So somehow you've got to cut through that. And I'll give you my opinion, which is you're telling a story. And you've got to tell a story that firstly people understand and secondly they care about. And I think you're telling, so I'm talking about a business case here, but I think a business case is a story. I don't mean a fairy tale. I mean a story about what we think is about to happen. And you're telling that story to a very specific audience. You're telling it to your decision makers, whoever they may be, CEO, CFO, HR leadership team, whoever it may be. And I think you need to recognize self-interest. You're telling a story to those people that their world is going to get better, and here's how. So firstly, they got to recognize the pain points. Today, we have a pain that looks a bit like this. Tomorrow we can fix it by doing this other thing. And when we do, your world will be better because. Now that's a little story, probably oversimplistic and teaching grandmother to suck eggs and all the rest of it. But you know, in all the boardrooms I've been lucky or unlucky enough to sit in over the years, ultimately you're telling a clear and simple story that people can say yes or no to. It needs to be logically correct. If we do this, then that will happen. It needs to have gone through the right hands. Well, the CFO saw this and your executive assistant saw it or whatever. And look, you do need attention to detail. If there are small mistakes, if there's a comma in the wrong place or the numbers are wrong, that can unravel the whole thing, which is where, as you say, Mary, the sort of financial acumen comes. But any individual doesn't need to have all of those skills. It's usually a team that puts the business case together. It's certainly a team that approves it. So if you can assemble it, test it with a few people along the way. So when it does finally get to the big sign-off meeting, frankly, if it's been through all the right hands, it's more likely to be right than wrong.
Yeah, and isn't that really the argument for HR not being as siloed as it might traditionally have been? You know, if HR sits on the edge or the periphery and isn't seen as central to the organization, then your job really is about, you know, getting yourself into the boardroom, getting yourself heard. And like you say, paying attention to the details, because you can expect being interrogated on a large spend, whatever that spend is going to be. In fact, you can expect to be interrogated on any spend from a CFO. And, you know, people are always going to want to know what's in it for the organization and why should we invest in this. You saying it's a great tool is not enough. And you getting someone to demo that tool to them is not enough. You're a long way off. You've got to present it in language that your organization understands.
Yeah, and I think something that's often missed out is the upside of a business case. A business case is not just we want to spend X because. A business case is we will achieve this benefit, which will be big, by spending this amount, which is smaller. You know, that's what investment's about. You spend a little, you gain a lot. And I think, as you say, Mary, it's all too often, you know, the software will cost this and it will do that. That's only half of the equation. On the other side of the equation was what I was talking about earlier. Who is going to benefit from this? Which pain points will be removed? How much money are we going to make as a company because of this? How much happier will our customers will be? How will this differentiate us in our market so we're competing and winning more business? Because those are the outcomes we're all working towards. And when you look at, you know, the world of skills, skills gaps are painful. If your company, whether it's the HR function or the broader workforce, if they don't have the skills that are right skills for next year, what's going to happen as a result of that? Where's the business going to go? So if you've got that pain and you've spotted it and you want to fix it, I say start with the upside. When we get this right, this is what it's going to look like. Oh, and because you're really selling that. Oh, and to get there, by the way, here's the software we're going to use, or the partner, or the insight, or the process.
Yeah, that's really, really sound advice, Simon.
As expected, I think a lot of things for HR teams and organizations to think about, lots of opportunities to kind of jump ahead of the curve if people are willing to look at things a bit differently and really embrace the capabilities of tech, skills, everything that goes with that. I think just to bring it back to a couple of key takeaways from today, and such good information in there, I think we'll get some really good valuable tips out of it. I think first one is kind of looking inwardly at an organization, your HR team, being strategic about what they want to do. Looking at pain points, looking at things, gaps that are there. And as you said, Simon, looking at that dream situation and how do we get there? I think secondly, one of the key points that we kind of alluded to today as well is also looking at skills, knowledge, skills gaps. From the sounds of it, data is everywhere. As you said very early on, Simon, there's data there about skills it's in so many places, things as simple as a CV, right through to all the options that go with that. And those skills gaps, of course, can also be filled by collaborating with other parts of the business, employer brand, marketing, finance, that kind of stuff. And especially when it comes back to that business case, as you said, Simon, you do need to have that kind of collaboration along the way to make it as strong as possible. I do think the key undertone of this all, though, is really what is the key to getting ahead? And as you said, both of you said throughout, it's just looking a little bit differently, embracing that innovation, creativity. And the key point that I suppose heard from today was embracing that little bit of fear. Obviously, with new changes, new technologies, new things like that, there will always be a little bit of fear, a little bit of risk. But as you said, Simon, make bets on what you want to do and use the right things to get there. So thank you again, Mary and Simon, for a very insightful discussion, as expected. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe, join the discussion on our social media channels. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us today at insidehr.ie. Thank you all.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Inside HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insidehr.ie/podcast. That's www.insidehr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.